Thank you all. Be seated, please. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Acts chapter 14, starting at, actually, I'm going to start reading at verse 8. Lesson may pick up at verse 11. Acts chapter 14, I'm going to start reading, like I said, at verse 8. If you want to read along with the Pew Bible in front of you or the Bible that you brought, that's fine. The screen then above you will have the scriptures starting at verse 11. In Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet and had never walked, for he had been crippled from birth. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul, looking at him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And the man sprang up and began to walk. When the crowds saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates. He and the crowds wanted to offer a sacrifice. When the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We are mortals just like you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to follow their own ways, yet he has not left himself without a witness in doing good, giving you rain from heaven and fruitful seasons and filling you with foods and your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. But Jews came there from Antioch and Iconium and won over the crowds. Then they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples surrounded him, he got up and went into the city. The next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come together to praise your name, to look into your word this morning, and to share in the supper of our Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this time of praise and worship this hour, and we ask that your Holy Spirit might truly touch our hearts, touch our minds, and touch our souls, that we might know that truly you are amongst us and you are leading us and guiding us. Lord, help us be the persons that you want us to be, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it's not always easy to be a Christian and to be a witness for Christ, and it's just not always easy to spread his gospel. Irene Lynn told the story about one Sunday morning. She and her son were leaving church, and they were out in the parking lot and talking to some folks, they noticed as they were talking to another family, a woman and her family who had left church 4 or 5 minutes or 10 minutes or so before drove back into the parking lot and drove up to where Irene and her friends or her son and her friends were. And Irene said, "What happened? You're back. What happened?" Well, the woman laughed, said, "When I got into my car, I put all this on top of the car so I could help my little boy in." And she held up her Bible and some Sunday school papers and a bunch of program sheets. And so they all looked rather dirty and disheveled and everything. She said, "I put them on top of the car to help my son in the car, and I forgot and left them there as I drove away, and everything fell off on Route 857, was scattered everywhere. I went back and picked it up and just wanted to come back." And Irene's 11-year-old son said, "Well, the Bible does say, spread the gospel." Well, being a Christian and being a witness for the Lord is not always easy. Just look at this experience of Paul and Barnabas. Now, it was dangerous. It was dangerous to be a Christian in that time. We didn't read from Acts chapter 13 this morning. I just want to tell you real quickly what happened. It was the beginning of the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. And they shared the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ all around what we now call Turkey, what then in that time was called Asia Minor. In verses 16 through 41 in chapter 13, Paul gave a long sermon about Israel and the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ, whom God raised from the dead. And then further on in verse 42, there were some Jewish people who received Paul's message warmly and gave faith to Jesus Christ and requests for Paul and Barnabas to share more about their faith in Christ in the days ahead. But other Jewish people were quite angry with Paul and Barnabas, and so Paul and Barnabas explained that they were fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah, that Israel was to be a light to the Gentiles and the salvation of Jesus Christ may reach to the ends of the earth to all peoples. But these hard-line Jewish leaders who opposed Paul and Barnabas stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. And you can bet that wasn't very pleasant, getting them thrown out of the region. But Paul and Barnabas were undeterred, and so they went on. They went on. And we see in chapter 14 that Paul and Barnabas went to the city of Iconium, and a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But some Jewish leaders there wanted to stone them. And so Paul and Barnabas did whatever anyone would do. When they found out they weren't wanted, they left. And they went elsewhere to preach the good news. Now that's where chapter 14, verse 8 picks up. They went to the city of Lystra, and they saw this lame man who had, Paul thought, had faith to be healed, and he called out, "Stand up on your feet." And the man walked. The man walked. And then as we read just a minute ago, what happened next was almost kind of funny. People got so excited to see this man healed, they started shouting and carrying on. And see, there's a story that goes behind this. There's an old story in the city of Lystra that at one time, once upon a time, Zeus, the chief god in Greek mythology, and Hermes, or Mercury, the messenger god in that mythology, had walked the streets of their town of Lystra. But no one recognized them except for one elderly couple. And so as the story went around for several generations, the people of this city did not want that oversight to ever happen again. So when they saw the man healed by the command of Paul, they wanted to elevate Paul and Barnabas to God's status. Barnabas must be Zeus, the chief god, and because Paul was the speaker, he was the messenger god, Hermes. Now, when Paul and Barnabas realized that the people were doing this and they wanted to make a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice to them, they were horrified that this was going on. And Paul and Barnabas told the people that they were only human beings, servants of the God who created us and saves us in Christ Jesus. When was the last time somebody tried to make you into a god or a goddess? You know, sounds like some kind of Mel Brooks movie, you know, some kind of funny thing. Well, then things turned deadly serious. Jewish leaders from the previous couple of towns that they'd been in came to Lystra and whipped up the crowd against Paul, and they stoned him. You know what stoning means? They're throwing rocks at somebody. Well, evidently, there were not very good throws. They were not very good pitchers or whatever with rocks. So it just sort of stunned Paul. They dragged him out of the city, and he got up and left the next day with Barnabas. But it was dangerous to be a Christian then. It was dangerous to be a witness for Christ in those days. Now, things are a lot different nowadays, but not entirely different. We're fooling ourselves if we think that it is perfectly safe to be a Christian today in this world. There are dangers today in many parts of the world to being a witness for Christ. Maybe you heard a few years ago of the South Korean Christians in Afghanistan. They were on a short-term, two-week-long mission trip from a South Korean church, probably a Pentecostal church or a Methodist church in South Korea, to help the poor in Afghanistan. And probably one Christian in the group of 27, maybe the pastor, may have said something about Christ to someone in that predominantly Muslim nation. And some fundamentalist Muslim may have taken offense. The pastor and another man in the group were killed, and the others were being held. Over 20 of the other members of the group were women, and they were held for a couple of weeks, and then through some diplomacy and all, they were released unharmed. Pray for folks like that and Christians anywhere who go to another country to be a witness for Christ. Pray for them. And then there's my friends Bruce and Emily Provotsky. I didn't print their name in there. I'm going to tell you in a minute why. Bruce and Emily P. Bruce was the pastor of Bookwalter United Methodist Church in the early 1980s. In 1986, Bruce and Emily and their daughters were approved for the mission field with the General Board of Global Ministries, the United Methodist Mission Agency. They're approved for mission work and spent 3 years in Indonesia, a mostly Muslim nation east of Vietnam and China on several islands in the South Pacific. Then they went to Kazakhstan for almost 11 years, the nation that was once part of the Soviet Union, a mostly Muslim nation also. Now, if you haven't figured it out yet, Bruce feels called to be a witness to Muslims. Bruce and Emily shared Christ in a very low-key way. Bruce once said, when I asked him to Philip preach from a pulpit for me, he said, we go into a Muslim town or a town in Afghanistan, and we set up shop and do some translating and teaching English and wait for the Holy Spirit to show up and begin making a difference in the lives of people and for people to start asking them. Now, Bruce said that people would ask him if they were Christians, and Bruce already had learned, he already knew that the idea that the Afghan people had of Christians were the Russian Orthodox people, the Russians who had conquered their nation for 3 or 4 decades, and they didn't care much for Russian Orthodox Christians. So Bruce said, no, we're not Christians like the Russian Orthodox. We're just followers of Jesus. And he turned them back to the New Testament every time they asked. We're just followers of Jesus. Now, Bruce and Emily are now in another country in the Middle East, near Europe, and they ask not to publish where they are, because if a radical fundamentalist were to get their name and the country that they are in, some radical fundamentalists believe that attacking or killing Christian missionaries is another sure way to go to paradise. It can be dangerous to be a Christian in many places around the world today. Now, what about in America? Is it dangerous to be a Christian in America? Well, it may be not. Few Christians in the U.S. are actively attacked or stoned for expressing real truth in Jesus Christ. But it does occasionally happen. People get attacked, at least verbally, for their faith in Christ. The danger is more likely to be just kind of a personal rejection or being looked at as somewhat weird because you believe in Jesus or because you're a witness for Jesus. But nevertheless, we still need to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And there's 4 kinds of being a witness and making visits, witnessing visits. The first is we can just visit people who have visited our church. We can go out and knock on the doors of people who visit our church. And when we do that, all we want to do is welcome the people, make sure they're who they are, if they're find out if they're new in town, maybe 5 or 6 minutes. Usually just what we call a porch visit. You know, just talk to them on their porch for a few minutes and just tell them you're so glad to see them and hope to see them again in church soon. The second kind of visit is one with people who don't know Christ at all. That's a true evangelistic witness. On this type of visit, we try to make clear that only in trusting in Jesus Christ as Savior can we have the assurance of the forgiveness of our sins and the confidence of eternal life, the blessing of Jesus Christ's guidance and presence with us every day. We can use little booklets like the Bridge or the Do You Want to Know God Personally booklets or something else with them. We just share the good news with them. There's a third kind of visit, and that's what I call a referral visit. That's somebody we haven't met before, but may be referred by someone who knows them, either a Fran, what we call a Fran, F-R-A-N. The F stands for friend, the R stands for relative, the A stands for acquaintance, and the N stands for neighbor. Somebody who knows that person, either as a friend, a relative, an acquaintance, or a neighbor, and says, they need to hear about Jesus. The example of this in the Bible is in John chapter 1, verse 40, where Andrew invites his brother Simon Peter to meet Jesus and hear him. The person or couple or family that we visit in this kind of case, we simply want to invite them to our church and kind of gauge what level of interest or what level of faith in God that they may have. And the fourth kind of visit is in some ways the most dangerous type of visit. It's the cold call, cold call. And that we may know little or nothing about the person or the family that we visit. Sometimes they can be very hostile. Sometimes they can be very warm. Sometimes they can just be too busy to see us. And either way, we need to just accept that and roll with that and show the love of Christ. In this case, all we want to do is get to know them. In any of the case of witness, we want to get to know them and share the love of Christ with them in whatever way we can and invite them to First United Methodist Church of Madisonville. Now, a lot of you are familiar with the high school ministry, Young Life. Young Life, it's kind of in some ways is a youth group for unchurched students. One Young Life leader told of getting kids to go to summer camp, and he said that kids who really needed to hear the gospel, we sent to summer camps at the lake where there was water skiing, ropes course, and lots of activities. And Mark was one of those kids. Now, that summer, the main speaker, or that week, the main speaker was a guy named Bob Mitchell, a Young Life staff guy named Bob Mitchell. And he called most of the shots, including when the meals would be served. So Mitch was always talking to the cook. Now, the cook loved her work, but it was exhausting. She always looked tired. Whenever she talked to Mitch, Mitch got up and gave her his chair at the table and gave her a moment's rest while they discussed the meal plans and the time and timing and all. And nobody noticed Mitch doing this except for that student, Mark. Mark was surprised at the attention Mitch gave to the cook. Now, Mark hadn't come that week to hear about Jesus. He came for the water skiing and for the girls. But when he saw Jesus' love lived out in that simple act of kindness to the cook, he began to listen to what Mitch had to say. And later that week, Mark asked Jesus to be his Savior. And later he said, if that's what it means to be a Christian, Mark said that I didn't come to Christ because of the messages, but because of the love and attention he saw in Mitch for the cook and for others. And he said, if that's what it means to be a Christian, to be loving, to be caring, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I want to be one of those. Being a Christian and being a witness for Christ isn't always easy. But living for Christ with simple love and kindness and integrity can make all the difference in the lives of others. This morning we want to share in the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to ask you to turn to page 12 near the front of your hymnal. I'd like us to share in the Confession and Pardon there on page 12. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. And we have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Here are the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Now let's look over to page 13, about a third of the way down to the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. O Lord, we pray this morning that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The table of the Lord is open to each and to anyone who wants to come forward. You don't have to be a member of this church or of any United Methodist church. As long as you call on Christ as your hope for salvation, please come forward and share in the bread and the cup.